message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
For his love, for his kindness that he has shown to us, and I know that everyone here will continue to receive God's blessings in Jesus' name. If you are certain of God's blessings, come on, shout a big hallelujah. We received diverse testimonies this morning. That lady was having problems of hearing in one of the ears, and God arrested it last week Sunday. Also, she had problems with breathing. And you remember that I did not even mention specifically asthma. I just said breathing. Breathing challenge by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And God arrested that problem. And I'm so certain that today, God will arrest somebody's challenge in Jesus' name. Can you imagine this young man, this my friend here, at his young age, has already bought a land, gave a testimony, and built the house, and then he's completed the proof. That can only be God. Give Jesus a big clap. He's worthy, he's faithful, he's kind, he's an awesome, and many other diverse testimonies that came this morning, inspiration, success, miracle alerts, and many other things that Jesus gave to us. And I know that somebody here today, you are the next in line in Jesus' name. It's an anointing service, anointing for extraordinary progress. Anointing for extraordinary progress. That this is our month of extraordinary progress. And today, the second Sunday in this month, is the anointing service. And today I'll be speaking briefly on breaking the yoke of stagnation. Breaking in this anointing service today, I will be teaching and preaching on breaking the yoke of stagnation. In Proverbs chapter 4 verse 18, our anchor scripture this morning, the Bible says, "But the path of the just is as a shining light, and it shineth more and more until the perfect day." So, God's intention is that you continue to do well. God does not want you to be stagnated. He does not want you to be on a single spot. His purpose, his intention for you and for me is progress. And I speak to somebody here today, that will be your portion in Jesus' name. God does not want you to lack progress. And if you check all around us, you will see many people who are not progressing. You will see many lives that are not progressing. You look to the family, you will see many situations that lacks progress. But as for you, from today, progress shall be your portion in the name of Jesus. Example of those that lack progress, number one is a man in John 5, verse 2 to 9. This man was a man who lacked progress for 38 years. The Bible says he was a man at the pool of Bethesda. The Bible says he was there for 38 years. I wonder how many years is he going to even be alive for him to waste 38 years of his life. The man was on the same spot. He could not progress. He could not advance until Jesus came there one day. And I know that Jesus is here to meet with somebody here today. If you are that person, shout a loud hallelujah. And Jesus was able to deliver him from that continuous stagnation, from that continuous situation. Somebody on the same spot, I wonder how he wants to get married, have children, start a business or something. His life was frustrated, dilapidated. Nothing was working in his life for 38 years. And you can see how wicked the devil is. Until Jesus intervenes, the life of a man remains in stagnation. Number two example of the people that were stagnated are the children of Israel. The Bible says they were stagnated for 430 years, according to Exodus chapter 12, verse 40. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt were 430 years. They were in the same spot for 430 years. Things were not working for them. Actually, they were supposed to be in captivity for 400 years. According to Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. God was speaking to Abraham and told him, "See, your guys, your people, And the Lord said unto Abraham, know this. Thank you, Jesus. And he said unto Abraham, know of surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years. They were supposed to be afflicted for 400 years, but there was an extension again of that. I can't imagine how somebody can be in captivity for 400 years. An extra jara of 30 years was added to it again. 40 years already too much. Even 1 year of stagnation is too much. Not to talk of 430 years. But I speak to someone here today. Today marks the end of the stagnation in your family. Today marks the end of the stagnation in your home. Remember that my daughter, I saw her, I think, in the choir today. She said she was waiting for jam for, I think, is it 5 or 8 years? Sorry? 9 years of stagnation, waiting, jam her to this place. Jam her to that place. Jam her, throw her up and drop her down. Until she came to this commission. And God himself, her name, I think, came out with the last or second to the last batch or so. Last batch. When every hope was lost. Somebody is here today. God is going to change your story this minute. I say God is going to change your story this minute. God is going to change your story this minute. God is going to change your story this minute. And this morning, I'll be showing you one exit route out of stagnation. Just one, because of time. Just one thing that you will do that your life will change. One thing that will happen and forever and ever, you will not be marking the same, you will not be on the same spot marking time. One thing. What is this one thing? It is called obedience. A life of disobedience is a sure pathway to stagnation. In Isaiah 1 verse 18, Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, the Bible says, if ye be willing and obedient, verse 19, beg your pardon, Isaiah 1 verse 19, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. If you are willing, if you are obedient, you will eat. Somebody say, I will eat. Oh God, you can't even say. Say, I will eat. I will eat the good of the land. I will eat the good of the land. And it takes obedience to do this. The spirit of obedience is essential for every Christian that wants to excel. There's a spirit called the spirit of disobedience. It's in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2. He said there are some children. He said the Bible calls them, they possess a spirit. Now look at this. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. There are some children, the Bible calls them the children of disobedience. They are children that does not listen to the Father's instruction. They are children that walks away from the counsel of the Almighty God. But I pray for somebody here today, you will never be amongst them in Jesus' name. In Philippians chapter 1 verse 21, Philemon chapter 1, 21. I'm in a hurry, and that's why I'm trying to be very fast because of time. We have run, time is moving very fast. Philemon chapter 1, verse 21, was talking about a man that had that spirit of obedience. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt do more than I say. That's what they call the spirit of obedience. He said, I have confidence in you that whatever I have told you to do, I have confidence in you that you will even do more than I tell you to do. This is what brings progress. This is what terminates stagnation. And for somebody here today, I pray for you that today marks the end of stagnation in the name of Jesus. Stagnation comes to an end in your life in the name of Jesus. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 30 and 31. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 30 and 31. The Bible says, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter years, thou shalt turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto his voice. Somebody say, obedient unto his voice. Obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee. Somebody say, amen. As a result of your obedience, he said, God will not forsake you. He will not forsake thee, neither will he destroy thee. Somebody say, amen. nor forget the covenant of thy father which he swore unto thee. Obedience is beneficial. You can't be obedient and be stagnated. You can't be obedient and be relegated. You can't be obedient and be downcasted. You can't be obedient and be frustrated. You can't be obedient and be put to shame. Obedience is a barrier breaker. Obedience breaks barriers. Obedience breaks the wall of Jericho. Can you imagine the children of Israel? If God said, go around this world 7 times. And they said, no, we don't feel like. We just feel like going around it just 2 times. See, we don't like stress. It's a modern world. By the time they go, or they say, we don't want 7 times. We want like 17 times. God has given specific instructions. And we must obey him. Examples of those who were blessed through their obedience. Number one is Abraham. Abraham was super blessed because of the level of obedience that he had. He was a man obedient to the call. He was obedient to the call. He was obedient to the call. And this obedience changed his life. I see obedience changing your life today. In Genesis 22, God did tempt Abraham. God tested him. God checked him out. Wanted to see how obedient he is. And the Bible says, God spoke to him, take thy son, thy only son, that son that you suffered to get him, I want you to go and sacrifice that boy for me. I want to test your obedience. I want to see how much you love me. And the Bible says, he took the son. The son was asking him, Father, where are we going? He said, we are going to sacrifice to God. We are going to sacrifice to God. We are going to worship God. And the Bible says, and as he went there, God himself was surprised when he took a knife and wanted to kill his own son. That will be the heir to his throne. God himself came down in the form of an angel and said, stop there. In Genesis 22, verse 16. Genesis 22, verse 16, God swore unto him. God swore. He said, by myself I swear. In blessing I will bless you. He said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing, because you have been obedient to me. He said, and as not withheld thy son, thy only son. Go on now. Go on now. Thank you, Jesus. That in blessing I will bless you. I like your amen, but the amen must be preceded by obedience. That in blessing I will bless you. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sun which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of thy enemies. You will possess the gates of your enemies until you are ready for obedience. Nothing drastic happens in the life of the disobedient. Nothing dramatic happens to the life. On the day you turn your backs on God's instruction, you have turned your backs on extraordinary progress. Abraham is still being mentioned today because of his life of obedience. Number two example of those that were obedient is a man called Naaman. Naaman, he was a general, but you can call him a leper because he had a bot in his life. That story is in 2 Kings chapter 5. From verse 1, I know you know the story very well. This man was a general, but he was a leper. And he wanted to be healed. And a small girl that was a servant in the house said, if you can take this, our boss, to Samaria, there's a prophet in Israel that can heal him. To cut long story short, he went there. And as he got there, the man of God did not come out. Elisha did not bother to come out of his office. He only sent his protocol. Tell him to go and wash 7 times in Jordan. He did not come to say, hey, wait on, General. If you read that place very well, the Bible says, he traveled with silver and gold. You see, men of God that are genuine, they don't pursue what members have. They don't be pursuing this and that, be shadowing members of money here and there. He said, go and tell him to go and wash. I'm busy, I'm interceding, I'm praying now. He first said, oh God, what kind of thing is this? What is this? Can this man of God come out and speak to me and bless me and do and just regegebosh on me?
I'm not doing it.
But later, they convinced him and he decided to be obedient. And the Bible says, and as he went to go and wash, his skin was like the skin of a baby. That was the beginning of his extraordinary progress. My prayer for someone here today is that the spirit of obedience will come upon you today in Jesus' name. You know, sometimes God tells you something, it doesn't look normal. It looks like it doesn't make sense. It looks like it's a waste of time to do it. But I tell you, obeying God is never a waste of time. It's an asset that will lead to extraordinary progress. Somebody say a big amen. That story is in 2 Kings chapter 5 from verse 1 through to 14. Number 3 example of a person who was obedient and his life progressed is a man that we don't regularly talk about much, like the wife. It's a man called Joseph the carpenter. In Matthew chapter 1 verse 18 to 24, Joseph was married to Mary, the mother of Jesus. The Bible says he was espoused to Mary. Now, look at this. I'm taking you somewhere this morning. Now, you just got married to somebody. And if you read your Bible very well, he said before they met, before they had any relationship in the bedroom, she was confirmed pregnant. So because of the love he had for her, he said, okay, since it is like this, can you see that? Let's read it. Just follow me. Now, since it is like this, let me just push her out. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When as his mother, Mary was espoused to Joseph. She was already married to Joseph. But the marriage just happened. They had not consummated the marriage. Before they came together. Okay, that's it. And she was found with a child with the Holy Ghost. How many men are here? You about to get married to somebody. Or you just got married to somebody this Saturday. And you finished the reception at 5. And by 6, she started vomiting. And said, Holy Ghost. Oh God. Holy Ghost impregnated me. Now look at this. The angel now appeared to him. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to just make her a public shame, was minded to put her away privately. Since you are pregnant, you know, let me just release you so that nobody will just go and give back. Then what happened then? But while he thought on these things, he meditated on these things. Behold, maybe he just dozed off a little bit. And the angel appeared to him in a dream. While he was meditating, he just dozed off. And saying, Joseph, Jobobo, don't send away this wonderful woman. Don't cast away this wonderful woman. Die. And the angel appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is inside her tummy is of the Holy Ghost. And she will bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. I know your heart. If it is you, you wake up and say, I bind you, Satan. I know I have the gift of dreams. I dream very well, but this kind of dream, I reject you. I reject you in the name of Jesus. I reject you. No! What do people say that somebody has impregnated my wife? To make matters worse, you know, when you read on, I don't have the time. When you read on, you will see that the Bible now says that God now told him, take care of this woman. Take care of this woman. Nurture her. Take care of her. Take care of the baby. He's going to be a special... And you know what? He obeyed God. Until you are ready to obey God, the progress you actually need might not be so easy to get. This young man obeyed God's instruction, and this changed his life dramatically. Ladies and gentlemen, beloved, what and who do we obey? What or who do we obey? Number one, we